97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
When you were young and your heart was an open book, you used to say, live and let live.
Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Welcome in. Mark Cox here along with my co-host Bo Matthews and producer Carl Middleman.
Pew pew.
Having a lot to talk about this weekend on both of these issues. We got a great show for you coming up. We're going to get into the whole debate over whether or not there should be a special prosecutor in the city to help Kim Gardner do her job. Of course, her job may already be on the line now because of the attorney general. And whether or not there need to be more gun restrictions to make sure teenagers aren't walking down the street and then only getting a slap on the wrist if they get caught with a gun. What do you think, Bo?
I truly believe that if we had more law enforcement, more qualified, you know, specially trained law enforcement on the streets, don't you feel safe when you go to an event and there's a lot of law enforcement around? You just feel safer that way, right? And you're smiling, but am I saying something wrong here?
No.
Because I we need a circuit attorney that will support law enforcement, especially when it comes to situations like we saw on the streets of St. Louis this week.
It's just common sense. I heard Tom Cotton there was a Senate hearing this week. They had Merrick Garland up there. Tom Cotton was making the very valid point that the death rate per 100,000 people is lower in third world countries like Honduras and Guatemala than it is in St. Louis and New Orleans.
You know, for a lot of years, it was safer to be in Afghanistan than it was to be in major cities in America.
Yeah.
I saw the video that everybody's talking about, and I'll tell you what, the video is horrifying. The guy that shot the video, you could hear the horror in his voice as well. What would you do, Mark? What would you do? Let me go back. Let me just tell you before we talk about this situation. I was working at the building, Kitty Corner, from where the 97.1 studios are many years ago. And I come out of the parking garage, and there was a guy that had a girl up against the wall of the Jefferson Arms Apartments. Remember that?
I do.
And I drove my truck over the concrete median and put my front wheels on the front of, or on the sidewalk and up against, you know, towards this guy. And he ran off, but he was beating the crap out of her. So I'll ask you, what would you do in this situation that happened on the streets of St. Louis this week?
So as someone who has tried to imagine this scenario many times, if you go to the range or you go wherever you go, you get your concealed carry license and you make the decision to carry, here's what they'll tell you. You have to think through these scenarios. Now, the guy that recorded the video was not a concealed carry holder. He didn't have a gun with him. It would have been suicide for him to run out and try to confront this guy with a loaded weapon who'd already shot the guy once who was sitting on the sidewalk. But had you been in that building and you saw what he was trying to do and you had your concealed carry license, the debate then is, do you engage? And you know one of two things could happen. You're dealing with a crazy person who takes a shot at you, and you have to hope that you're the better shot, or you're able to go out and defuse the situation. Drop it. I'm a concealed carry holder. I need you to drop the gun. For all we know, the guy drops the gun and takes off running. You're putting your life on the line. You are allowed to do that if somebody's life is at risk. That was the situation here. So that's the debate that would have to go through your head. I don't think it would be a very spur of the moment decision, don't you think?
Sure. You know, absolutely. And that's why training is so important, because at least you have the mechanics down. You have the muscle memory down. But then there's that moral issue.
Yes.
And as I was watching the video, and I watched it a few times, the guy was messing with the gun so much. I don't know if he had a jam or if he was reloading or what the issue was. Dude, if I had a firearm and that was going on, he's having a problem.
Yes.
And you have an opportunity to take care, at least do something, because 911, you know, can't get the cops there quick enough. Yeah.
That would have been the opportunity, and I think I would have engaged. I'm not in the situation, but having watched it a couple of times, I think if you would have had a duty as a concealed carry holder to engage, you could have saved a life. Now, you might have ended up taking one of the bad guy in this case, who's been charged with murder for assassinating somebody on the streets of St. Louis. But if you watch that, it's surreal. There are cars driving by. you know, people out and about, and he's calmly trying to repair, fix whatever the jam was on that gun, and then he just turns and shoots this man in cold blood. It was
I had a conversation when we were talking about the Indiana mall shooting. The guy come out of the bathroom, remember that story? And the young 21-year-old guy was able to take him out at a huge distance.
Yes.
Because he had that training, and he obviously had the wherewithal to figure out, okay, I need to do something, otherwise it's going to be really bad. I talked to Sheriff Marshak, and I don't want to put words in his mouth, but I believe he said only about 20% of people will go towards the fire. They, you know, most people will retreat or turn away. I'll tell you what, I commend the guy that videotaped it. And some people say, oh, that's terrible. He just videotaped it. He's a, you know, just exploiting this. No, he was getting evidence is what he was getting. And that's what I think about him.
He had already called 911. He was waiting on a police response.
And didn't have a weapon.
He didn't have a weapon. I don't blame him in any way, shape, or form. He was horrified with what he was watching. But he couldn't have run out there. He just couldn't. And here's the other sad part. In the city of St. Louis, they're so low staffed right now. There probably weren't more than 7 or 8 police officers on patrol in the entire downtown area. So the odds of one of them getting there in time to stop that were slim. I mean, that's part of the defunding of the police in St. Louis. And it's a problem. There's no way you can talk about this in police response time and not mention the fact that if you had more officers on the street, to your point a minute ago, you got a better chance of policing situations like this. Just saying.
Absolutely. Train. People, train. Thanks to Mantis X for donating to the Big Dogs Poker Bash. We got a big show for you on Second Amendment Radio and the great outdoors. We're going to go outdoors. If you're a Yellowstone fan, oh, you want to be part of this, this conversation, get your cowboy hat out and your boots out, because we're going to put you to work, possibly. Or just play cornhole. All right, this is Second Amendment Radio and the great outdoors. Stay right there.
She comes down from Yellow Mountain.
Oh, yeah, that's good stuff. Ooh, Second Amendment Radio on the great outdoors. We're going to go outdoors on this segment with an organization that I just learned about. Now, I got to tell you, I've driven by the equine-assisted therapy location a gazillion times. Never knew it was there. And then when I learned the name of it, Mark, I didn't even know what it did. I thought equine-assisted therapy was therapy for, like, old horses like you and me. But
hey, speak for yourself, Matthews. Come on, what are you talking about?
Yeah, right? But when I found out what a wonderful place this is, I just fell in love with it. Lulu Bogolin is the executive director, I'm going to call her. Maybe her title's different, but she's a wonderful lady, has a wonderful passion, and equine-assisted therapy actually has therapy sessions with clients or patients, I guess you'd call them, and they do wonderful things. So we want to welcome to Second Amendment Radio on the great outdoors, Lulu Bogolin. How are you, ma'am?
Good morning, Bo. I'm well. How are you today?
Fantastic. Now, we are going to talk about your fundraiser that's coming up on March 12th, so about a week out. But I guess Mark is familiar with your organization as well. How are things going out there as the weather is changing? Are you getting more volunteers? Do you need more volunteers? How can we help?
Yeah. Well, good morning, Mark. I don't think I've had the pleasure to meet you in person, but good to talk with you on the phone. The weather is, I think the groundhog was wrong. The horses are shedding, and so that means spring is well on its way. And, yes, as the weather warms up, we are always looking for more volunteers, and it's a great way to come out and not only help others, but get your steps in. And I think most of our volunteers feel really good about just being here and being a part of all the awesomeness that happens out here at the barn.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think maybe for people like Bo who weren't as familiar with it, we have some good friends who have a daughter with some special needs, and I know that equine therapy has been something she has enjoyed quite a bit over the years. Tell people what that offers, the opportunities for people to get therapy through horses.
Yeah. So equine therapy is the use of a horse along with a specially trained and certified equine therapy instructor. And basically, I think what really makes this click, if I could put it in a nutshell, is that horses are prey animals, and people don't realize that because of their size. And so when you take a prey animal who is living in survival mode, or what we call fight or flight mode, that's all they know, and you pair them with somebody who has a special need or a special challenge that they're trying to work through, it could be physical or mental, it's almost like they too are living in fight or flight mode most of the time. And so when you take these two prey souls, I'll call it, and you connect them, there's an understanding that happens between these two, and it's almost as if they help each other persevere. So it's like they recognize that they're each in that fight or flight mode, and how can we get through this together? It's absolutely magical. It is good for so many disabilities, both mental and physical, psychological. Just sitting on a horse engages every abdomen muscle that you have, and then as that horse starts to move, we're working those muscles. So it's great for core strength. It's great for balance, flexibility. It can help. It can help release some of those tight muscles or spastic muscles, and then it can also help us gain muscle strength as well. It's great for fine motor, gross motor, coordination, high hand-eye coordination, and then some of the physical, some of the mental benefits are the fact that horses just help calm us. It's part of their nature. It helps our serotonin levels. So there's so many benefits of just being with the horses and then also riding the horses.
Lulu Bogolin is our guest from Equine Assisted Therapy. And, you know, you guys help a lot of people from all age ranges. You have a group called Silver Saddles, and that's for 55 years and older. The veterans program is fantastic. Of course, the young kids that get out there to do it when they're, you know, so young and they don't know any different, to be able to experience it, that is fantastic. I've seen it firsthand, Mark. Lulu, I want to talk about the horses specifically, because they're a certain temperament. And I want you to also mention the fire department that donated and found one of the horses that you introduced me to. You remember that?
I do, yeah. So we look for horses that have a really nice low energy mannerism about them. You won't find a whole lot of, and not that there's anything wrong with thoroughbreds, but we don't have a lot of hot-tempered horses here. we really look for just mild-mannered, draft, lazy horses, sort of. Florian is one of those. Florian.
So radio talk show host would be perfect for that.
I'm sorry?
I said radio talk show host would be perfect temperament for that.
Right, me too. But at any rate, Florian is one of our draft horses. Florian is a breed that's called a Gypsy Vanner. And they work really nice for therapy because they do typically have a little bit of a calmer, gentler demeanor about them. But they're also real stocky and drafty as far as their build goes, but they typically are not super tall horses like a Clydesdale or a Percheron. So it's kind of nice when we're putting a rider on them for our sidewalkers who are walking next to our riders that are placed on the horse, that their arms, you know, aren't way above their shoulders or their heads for a long period of time. So
you're getting support from all over. Yeah, you're getting support from all over, like the fire department. What was the horse's name again?
Yeah. So Florian, Florian was donated by some local firefighters who came together and did a fundraiser for us to be able to purchase Florian. And because of that, they asked if they could name him. And we said, of course. And so they named him St. Florian because that is the patron saint of firefighters.
Ah. That is fantastic. You know, we're kind of wondering why we've got you on here. You got any room in that Silver Saddles program for Bo? Because he's really been thinking about doing it.
Of course, Bo.
I'm just kidding you, Bo.
I did get my first IHOP 55 and older breakfast menu item. That's my claim to fame.
Wow. What about, can you just touch on the veterans program for a minute? Because, you know, I do a lot of work with veterans groups for my radio show, and I know that there are a lot of different ways out there to help people who maybe suffer from PTSD or have lingering issues that they're dealing with. Tell us about your vets program.
Yeah. So it's our veterans and first responders program. And basically what we do for them is we do have a licensed professional counselor on our team here. But really what we like to do for the vets and the first responders is just create a space for them, create a space where they can come out and learn about who we are and what we do. And for some of them, it may be a true therapeutic benefit for them to work with our counselor and to work with the horses. Some of them have really found comfort and help in just helping the other clients that we serve. So being a volunteer has been really rewarding for them. So we have a lot of different facets that we can work with veterans and first responders. It's really whatever fits their schedule and their need, we can work with them. It can be a one time, it can be a weekly, it can be a monthly.
I love it. I love it. And also shoveling the stalls, you get a NAB workout there too. So that's good.
Yeah, I'll
check
bet.
Out, check out eatherapy.org for more information about the volunteer, but you can also get information about their cornhole tournament coming up, which is awesome because it's going to be held within the arena, which is, you know, indoors mostly. And it's going to be a rain or shine event. Tell us about how this event's going to come together and if people can still get in and what the money's for.
Yeah, we are so excited about this. This is our first and hopefully annual cornhole tournament. We wanted to do something a little bit different, and we have an incredible indoor 10,000 square foot arena here in Wildwood. And so, yes, it will be rain or shine. It's March 12th. There are still some spots available. This is not a professional by any means, so anybody can come out and have fun with this. It is going to, all the proceeds from this are going to go to our mental health program. We have seen this program literally double in size since the pandemic. There's such a need for this right now, and so many of these folks who are asking for therapy, either their insurance doesn't cover it, many of them don't have insurance right now, but we find, you know, they're reaching out for help, and we need to be here for them. So every dollar raised from this cornhole tournament is going to our mental fund program, our mental health program, to help not only fund the program, but also our scholarship program that we have for it as well. So we don't turn anybody away for financial reasons. And so this is going to help us with the mental health side of what we do here at Equine Assisted Therapy.
Yeah, great, great work. Lulu Bogolin, thank you so much. Good luck with that cornhole tournament again, Sunday, March 12th, down there off Highway 109 in Wildwood. You can go to eatherapy.org to find out more, and we wish you the best of luck. Thanks for all you do.
Thanks, guys. Have a great day.
We will. Thank you, Lulu.
And you know, with the fame of Yellowstone in 1883 and 1923, people bought cowboy hats and boots, put them to work out at equine-assisted therapy. Get them out there and get them muddy.
Get out there and get an ab workout. Shovel those stalls out. That's,
if you
that's
want.
It's needed.
It's a lot of work. I'm telling you, it is. All right. Coming up, there was a lot of talk this week about crime in St. Louis. Some of it might affect law-abiding gun owners. In fact, we're going to let you in on that debate coming up on Second Amendment Radio in the Great Outdoors.
Riding
It's Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Thanks again to Lulu Bogolin for joining us with Equine Assisted Therapy. Wonderful organization. This segment is brought to you by Razorback Armory. They are in De Pere, and they are not just a gun store, because the knowledge base you're going to get is so fantastic. If you're looking for an AR, a shotgun for home defense, or you want to get in the shooting sports, go talk to them at Razorback Armory. Find their address and learn about them at RazorbackArmory.com.
You know, this past week, there's been some legislation making its way through Jeff City that impacts gun owners in Missouri primarily. And it, one part of it would answer a call by some legislators, some alder people in the city, who, and some police officers for that matter, who believe that the concealed carry laws in Missouri, the open carry law, specifically constitutional carry, restricts them from stopping teenagers they might see walking down the street with a gun. And they're wow. asking the legislature to enact something that would give them the necessary tool, as they see it, to stop and talk to them about it. Now, we can debate whether that's the case or not. Lane Roberts is the state rep who's been working on that. He's from Joplin. He's also the one been working on putting a special prosecutor in place to take over the cases that Kim Gardner won't prosecute. Aaron Dorr is with the Missouri Firearms Coalition. I had a chance to talk to both of these gentlemen this week. They don't see eye to eye on this issue. They're both conservatives. Lane Roberts is a former police chief. But they both have a little different solution to this, and I wanted you to hear part of my interview with both of them. Let's start off with Aaron Dorr from the Missouri Firearms Coalition.
Missouri Performing Arts High School. They are drawing attention to changes they like to see in Missouri gun laws. They're headed to Jefferson City later this morning, and Fox 2's Laura Simon live with a closer look at what is prompting this trip today.
Aaron Dorr joining us this morning from the Missouri Firearms Coalition. Aaron, good to have you back on the air. How are you?
Good morning, Mark. I'm doing well.
Yeah, good. Good to get you on here. You probably heard the beginning of that report. That's Fox 2 here in St. Louis this morning. A group of students from the Central Visual Performing Arts going to Jeff City. I guess they're going to testify today about red flag laws they would support, which would allow guns to be taken from this mentally ill person at this school. You know, I have a lot of sympathy, obviously, for what happened there. This kid's problems went back years. The school knew about it. The teachers knew about it. His family knew about it. Nothing was done. A change that affects law-abiding citizens doesn't impact that, in my opinion. What's your take on it?
Yeah, I think we all know the real issue in St. Louis is not firearms. We've taken God out of our schools. We've got broken homes, broken families, because fathers walk out on their kids. We have a declined education system, and we have prosecutors who will not prosecute crime. These are the issues that are leading to the crime problem in St. Louis. That's not going to be solved by gun control.
Yeah, but I mean, obviously, Republicans have a super majority in the legislature. My guess is that although this may be a hearing, there have been discussions down there about modifying the law. It's part of the bill. I think it got separated out, but it was part of the bill allow HB301. A prosecutor.
Yep.
Yeah, to allow a prosecutor to be put in St. Louis to help Kim Gardner do her job. And the police here claim that if they see a teenager walking down the street, they don't feel like they have the legal authority to stop that teenager and question them about the gun they're carrying.
Yeah, we heard some insane things in committee it was 2 weeks ago now in Jeff City. We have Republicans like Lane Roberts claiming that if a juvenile shoots at somebody driving by in the car, they can't be arrested. That's absolutely preposterous. There's all kinds of ways to hold people accountable for their actual behavior. However, we're not going to support legislation that would demonize an inanimate object. The issue here, again, is that we have prosecutors who will not prosecute. And simply passing one more gun control law is not going to fix that problem.
Well, I mean, the Riley, the kid that's suspected of running over this girl, is maybe a poster child for that. He should, I mean, he violated his own recognizance bond over 100 times, they're reporting locally now. And the prosecutor did nothing about it, and the courts did nothing about it.
Yeah, that's just an ongoing drama we have in St. Louis. Everyone knows the problem. It's Kim Gardner and the Democrats who have empowered her to sit there and do nothing while St. Louis burns to the ground. Again, that problem is not going to be solved by gun control. And any Republican here in Missouri, especially those who are debating running statewide in 2024, better get real with the fact that if you try to blame gun owners and inanimate objects for this problem, you will pay a price at election time.
Yeah. Aaron Dorr, my guest, Missouri Firearms Coalition. I saw the update, the legislative update that you guys sent out, I think, yesterday regarding attempts to once again change the wording within
the Second Amendment Preservation Act. What's that all about? What's the bill there?
Was an ongoing push by Peter Meredith and others here in Jeff City to reverse or to repeal portions of SAPA legislation. There's a lot of Republicans who will quietly say they'd be open to doing something like that. And our message, again, is just very simple. You know, Eric Greitens proved he is the case study on what happens when Republicans try to attack gun rights at election time here in Missouri. They will pay that price. And so our note here is very simple, whether it's trying to blame firearms to the crime problem in St. Louis, efforts to pass red flag gun seizures, efforts to repeal SAPA, the GOP better not blink on these issues.
Well, it's still a wording issue. I know a couple of police chiefs here in the greater St. Louis area, and I had cocktails with them one night, and they were explaining to me that they're concerned that their department might be fined $50,000 if they answer a call from the feds and cooperate on something. Kind of explain to my listeners why, first of all, what's the enforcement mechanism there? Who would do that, number one? And what would be the reason for doing that? This is to protect Missourians from an infringement by the federal government, right?
Yeah, Missouri.
It's Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Thanks again to Lulu Bogolin for joining us with Equine Assisted Therapy. Wonderful organization. This segment is brought to you by Razorback Armory. They are into pair, and they are not just a gun store, because the knowledge base you're going to get is so fantastic. If you're looking for an AR, a shotgun for home defense, or you want to get in the shooting sports, go talk to them at Razorback Armory. Find their address and learn about them at RazorbackArmory.com.
You know, this past week, there's been some legislation making its way through Jeff City that impacts gun owners in Missouri, primarily. And one part of it would answer a call by some legislators, some alder people in the city, who, and some police officers for that matter, who believe that the concealed carry laws in Missouri, the open carry law, specifically constitutional carry, restricts them from stopping teenagers they might see walking down the street with a gun. And they're wow. asking the legislature to enact something that would give them the necessary tool, as they see it, to stop and talk to them about it. Now, we can debate whether that's the case or not. Lane Roberts is the state rep who's been working on that. He's from Joplin. He's also the one been working on putting a special prosecutor in place to take over the cases that Kim Gardner won't prosecute. Aaron Dorr is with the Missouri Firearms Coalition. I had a chance to talk to both of these gentlemen this week. They don't see eye to eye on this issue. They're both conservatives. Lane Roberts is a former police chief. But they both have a little different solution to this, and I wanted you to hear part of my interview with both of them. Let's start off with Aaron Dorr from the Missouri Firearms Coalition.
Missouri Performing Arts High School. They are drawing attention to changes they like to see in Missouri gun laws. They're headed to Jefferson City later this morning, and Fox 2's Laura Simon live with a closer look at what is prompting this trip today.
Aaron Dorr joining us this morning from the Missouri Firearms Coalition. Aaron, good to have you back on the air. How are you?
Good morning, Mark. I'm doing well.
Yeah, good to get you on here. You probably heard the beginning of that report. That's Fox 2 here in St. Louis this morning. A group of students from the Central Visual Performing Arts going to Jeff City. I guess they're going to testify today about red flag laws they would support, which would allow guns to be taken from this mentally ill person at this school. You know, I have a lot of sympathy, obviously, for what happened there. This kid's problems went back years. The school knew about it. The teachers knew about it. His family knew about it. Nothing was done. A change that affects law-abiding citizens doesn't impact that, in my opinion. What's your take on it?
Yeah, I think we all know the real issue in St. Louis is not firearms. We've taken God out of our schools. We've got broken homes, broken families, because fathers walk out on their kids. We have a declined education system, and we have prosecutors who will not prosecute crime. These are the issues that are leading to the crime problem in St. Louis. That's not going to be solved by gun control.
Yeah, but I mean, obviously, Republicans have a super majority in the legislature. My guess is that although this may be a hearing, there have been discussions down there about changing the modifying the law. It was a part of the bill. I think it got separated out, but it was part of the bill allow a prosecutor. Yep. Yeah, to allow a prosecutor to be put in St. Louis to help Kim Gardner do her job. And the police here claim that if they see a teenager walking down the street, they don't feel like they have the legal authority to stop that teenager and question them about the gun they're carrying.
Yeah, we heard some insane things in committee it was 2 weeks ago now in Jeff City. We have Republicans like Lane Roberts claiming that if a juvenile shoots at somebody driving by in the car, they can't be arrested. That's absolutely preposterous. There's all kinds of ways to hold people accountable for their actual behavior. However, we're not going to support legislation that would demonize an inanimate object. The issue here, again, is that we have prosecutors who will not prosecute. And simply passing one more gun control law is not going to fix that problem.
Well, I mean, the Riley, the kid that's suspected of running over this girl, is maybe a poster child for that. He violated his own recognizance bond over 100 times, they're reporting locally now. And the prosecutor did nothing about it, and the courts did nothing about it.
Yeah, that's just an ongoing drama we have in St. Louis. Everyone knows the problem. It's Kim Gardner and the Democrats who've empowered her to sit there and do nothing while St. Louis burns to the ground. Again, that problem is not going to be solved by gun control. And any Republican here in Missouri, especially those who are debating running statewide in 2024, better get real with the fact if you try to blame gun owners and inanimate objects for this problem, you will pay a price at election time.
Yeah. Aaron Dorr, my guest, Missouri Firearms Coalition. I saw the update, the legislative update that you guys sent out, I think yesterday, regarding attempts to once again change the wording within the Second Amendment Preservation Act. What's that all about? What's the bill there?
Well, there's an ongoing push by Peter Meredith and others here in Jeff City to reverse or to repeal portions of SAPA legislation. There's a lot of Republicans who will quietly say they'd be open to doing something like that. And our message, again, is just very simple. You know, Eric Greitens proved he is the case study on what happens when Republicans try to attack gun rights at election time here in Missouri. They will pay that price. And so our note here is very simple, whether it's trying to blame firearms for the crime problem in St. Louis, efforts to pass red flag gun seizures, efforts to repeal SAPA, the GOP better not blink on these issues.
Well, it's still a wording issue. I know a couple of police chiefs here in the greater St. Louis area, and I had cocktails with them one night, and they were explaining to me that they're concerned that their department might be fined $50,000 if they answer a call from the feds and cooperate on something. It kind of explain to my listeners why, first of all, what's the enforcement mechanism there? Who would do that, number one? And what would be the reason for doing that? This is to protect Missourians from an infringement by the federal government, right?
Yeah, Missouri SAPA law, passed in 2021, simply says that we want Missouri cops to enforce Missouri gun laws and not become an appendage of the DOJ and the Biden White House. So as long as St. Louis PD, all the rest of our departments, enforce Missouri's gun laws, everything's fine. We live in Missouri because we like freedom. We don't want our cops to be hijacked by the Biden administration and forced to carry out executive orders attacking gun rights and gun owners. So what SAPA law says is that, and then it simply says that if a department, say St. Louis PD, decides to violate that law, that department, not the officers, but the department, could be sued in civil court for damages. But again, that only happens if that department willingly violates state law.
Yeah, and to best of our knowledge, there's been no challenge to that yet, right? I mean, nobody's been charged. No department's been charged.
There's been some various suits filed. Most of those, I believe all of those have been dismissed because they were spurious.
Okay.
Because, again, the word has gotten out, you know, amongst the law enforcement agencies that we have to enforce state code. If we do that, we're fine. And that was the entire idea behind SAPA.
Hey,
SAPA does not empower criminals. It does not allow felons to have, you know, firearms. It simply says we want state cops to do. I'm sorry.
No, I'm sorry. Something was playing in the background there. Go ahead. Sorry.
So we want our state cops to enforce our state laws. And you asked about cooperation. SAPA even allows for cooperation with state and local authorities and the feds. The feds can help state and local cops enforce Missouri law. And we can help them enforce federal law as long as there's an underlying law being broken here at the state level. So SAFE is a perfect concept. The only folks who don't like it are department heads who have lost some authority, which they crave very desperately.
MissouriFirearmsCoalition.org is the webpage. Aaron Dorr, I appreciate your time.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Take you care. Bet. Thanks for the update. Aaron is one of the folks down there leading the charge on SAPA and a lot of other issues protecting your Second Amendment rights. If you want to show them your support, MissouriFirearmsCoalition.org is their website there.
So as you can hear there, Aaron Dorr takes some issue with Lane Roberts. He doesn't see the necessity to change these gun laws. Roberts is a former police chief. He says, and you'll hear from him here, that he thinks you can have some changes and still be a strong supporter of the Second Amendment. This is Missouri State Representative Lane Roberts.
This is nothing more than a political ploy of the unelected attorney general, who, by the way, follows the Trump rhetoric that has been based in Missouri for a very long time.
There's Circuit Attorney Kim Gardner yesterday talking to now internet host Roland Martin, and she's blaming everybody for this. She's blaming the governor. She's blaming the attorney general for her incompetence in running her office. Now she's blaming Donald Trump, if you heard that bite there correctly. It's all these MAGA Trump supporters who are out to get her. That's got to be what it is. It can't be the fact that we just had somebody gunned down in the street two blocks from the radio station 2 days ago. The violence is out of control. People are tired of it. Honored to have State Representative Lane Roberts back on the show, District 161 over in Joplin. And, sir, welcome back.
Thank you, Marcy, to be here.
Well, you know, it hadn't been that long ago since you and I talked about this, the bill that you were sponsoring that would give us potentially some relief. That's before all of this attempt by the Attorney General to remove Kim Gardner. Where do things stand with that in terms of a special prosecutor?
Well, I don't know that a great deal has changed in terms of how this bill may play out. Certainly, the decision on the Attorney General's part is one that I agree with. I wish that it happened some time ago. Nonetheless, I think the bill will play out pretty much like it normally would. There's a bit more focus on it now. The Attorney General is obviously a more high-profile position than mine. But I do think that he's sort of shed a light on the fact this is serious. If they've not been taking it seriously before, they should now. Unless somebody in the circuit attorney's office gets their act together and starts prosecuting some people, we're going to give her some help that she may not want.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'll remind people that for much of your career, you were a police chief. You were on the front line, so to speak, of trying to battle crime. And here we seem to think that the approach is the fewer people we keep in jail, the better, the safer we're going to be. And it's been a failure in Chicago. I think Lori Lightfoot just got voted out because of it. It's a failure in St. Louis as well.
I tend to agree. But the politics of the matter aside, what has happened here is that we've lost the focus of the intent of the bill. I have learned through this process that the people of St. Louis, particularly those of the African-American population, truly believe and view this as an attack on black leadership. And that's unfortunate because it's not. As I told you before, I really don't care about the circuit attorney's gender or race or any other factor in her life. What I do care about is that far too many people are dying and being victims of assault. So I've had a number of people who are on the other side of this discussion who say, you know, how can you possibly claim that you support the Constitution and here you are trying to overturn the will of voters?
Yeah.
And I would submit to you that is patently untrue. I understand that there's folks who may not believe that, and I know that folks do believe, regardless of the truth, that we're attacking black leadership. But here's the fact of the matter. Regardless of the vote, I get it that the voters don't want us messing with it. But you ask the families left behind when their loved ones have been killed. Ask the people who've been assaulted Ask the people who live in fear in their homes. Ask them how they would vote today. And I'll bet you you'll get a way different answer. My career, I spent 43 years as a police officer and a couple of years as the director of public safety. I am and intend to remain victim-oriented. The simple truth is there are far too many victims in St. Louis, and the circuit attorney's office is not prosecuting the people responsible for victimizing that. And that is just not okay with me. And it doesn't matter where I live. Those are Missourians, and by golly, I intend to speak out for them, but the circuit attorney's not going to.
Well, thank you for doing that. State Representative Lane Roberts, our guest this morning. So to remind people, the legislation sets a threshold, and currently it would only apply to St. Louis, but that doesn't mean that, for example, Jackson County over in Kansas City wouldn't qualify at some point too, right?
That is possible. We had, when we initially crafted that language, I think I've told you before, it grew out of a summer working group where I was asked to take what was termed a deep dive into crime in Missouri, to make sure I included both rural and urban areas, and to do my very best to make it bipartisan. So that working group was three Democrats and three Republicans. And we deliberately had to listen to one another's positions because we didn't view the world from exactly the same political standpoint.
Right.
And this discussion about a special prosecutor, in fact, I was asked at the Senate hearing the other day, who told me to do this? And the answer to that is nobody told me to do this. This grew out of that working group and our discussions with people around the state. And I think it's noteworthy that I filed this bill clear back in the first week of December.
Right.
And in all of that time, there has not been one single alternative offered. Nobody who criticizes this has any other solution to offer. What the folks who oppose it are saying is, you know, get out of St. Louis's business, as though somehow, because St. Louis has always been violent, we should accept the fact that 200 more people are going to die this year. And I just reject that.
Wow. So I know, correct me if I'm wrong here, but originally part of this legislation included some language about allowing police to stop juveniles who might have guns, because there was some concern expressed on the part of police and other local leaders that they didn't have teeth when it came to that because of open carry laws and in concealed carry laws in Missouri. That's been removed, correct?
It has been removed, but it's not a dead issue. There are people in both sides of the aisle who are still working to find some language that would allow us to give the St. Louis Police Department the ability to deal with children with guns without transgressing on the Second Amendment. We protect the Second Amendment very zealously in Missouri, and I'm one of those advocates. It's unfortunate that there are a group who would like to take any time you say gun and you don't want the whole world to carry one. You must be a rhino and you must not support the Second Amendment. That's just not true. I was a police officer a long time, and I understand that when you put the guns in the hands of the wrong people, bad things can happen. And I'm not suggesting anybody who is of age shouldn't have a gun. But do you think about what does a 10-year-old do with a Glock in his waistband? Nothing good can come from that discussion. And when you do that in an urban setting, on public property, in congested areas, the potential there is obvious. And as I understand it today, there's been a number of groups who've surveyed people on both sides of the aisle, and most folks were shocked to find out that, in fact, in Missouri, a 10 or 12 or 14-year-old can, in fact, walk around with a gun or waistband, and under our laws, the police are without some remedy. I've asked a number of people, if you saw a 12-year-old in Walmart with a 9 millimeter stuck in a waistband, what would you do? And most of them would say, well, we'll call the police. Well, right. What are they going to do?
Right. Well, hopefully drag them back in front of their parents. But again, that's a whole different discussion, I would imagine. Representative Lane Roberts, District 161, appreciate you giving me some time and an update on that this morning. Thank you.
It's my pleasure.
Well, I'll tell you what, you know, both are making really good points in their own right. But when I look at what's happened on the streets of St. Louis, just the video of the guy on the street, I saw the video a couple of times this week, and it's just horrifying. You would think that St. Louis City would have special laws in place because St. Louis City is so different from the county and the rest of the state. So I don't know where this is going to end up, Mark, but you know, here's the thing. At least they're talking. At least they're talking about it. That when they quit talking, that's when we're in trouble. Yeah,
that's true. I tend to find myself siding with Aaron a little bit because it's a slippery slope. And if they're going to once again restrict law-abiding citizens' rights, we have to make sure that those are preserved. And I hope that there's a healthy debate about this in Jeff City if they end up doing that. All right. Good stuff, Bo. Thank you.
Yeah, open carry to me is so dangerous. I mean, I know you can legally do it in the state of Missouri, but it's just not safe to do that. If you're just a regular citizen walking through Home Depot with a pistol on your hip, or if you're going to a Blues game or something, you know, you're showing everybody, hey, this is what I've got. Concealed carry, you've got to keep it's called concealed carry for a reason. Nobody knows what's going on until something goes down. And it always bugs me. And I think I've shared this with you before. I'll see on Facebook, hey, this is my new concealed carry weapon. They'll show a picture. I'm thinking, you idiot. You have no idea what the word conceal means. You just don't.
Yeah, it's a great point. It's a great point. No shortage of things to talk about for sure. That's going to do it for this edition of Second Amendment Radio in the Great Outdoors. We're going to be having lots of fun at the Big Dog Poker Bash this weekend.
Absolutely. Want to see you out there again. It is a new location, the Eureka Community Center. Hopefully you already got your seat because we are loaded. But we'll hope to see you on Sunday. We're going to put a bounty on Mark's head. So if you want to play, and if you're playing, you go after him, you might win a nice prize.
Gee,
out of
thanks.
The deal. I'll see you Sunday. All right. Thanks for listening. Don't forget to share the show, share the podcast, Second Amendment Radio on the Great Outdoors. Have a great rest of your weekend. See you, boys.
Guns and money.
Get more at 971talk.com.